Amen. You may be seated and turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. The ushers will get you a Bible. And if I could trouble the sound room, if I could have my light on, please, that would be greatly appreciative. Thank you so much. So much. Philippians chapter 2. I don't think I'm going to be able to get all the way through this message today, so we'll get as far as we can, and then we'll pick it up next week. But I wanted to share with you that Paul has been sharing with us in Philippians the importance of a submissive mind. So far, he has illustrated that to us by using Jesus as an example. We study that in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Paul also gave the dynamics or the characteristics or the spiritual exercise, if you would, of what a submissive mind really is all about. We studied that in our last study from verses 12 to 16. Now, you can pick up those studies at calvaryelcentro.com. That's where those things are on our webpage, calvaryelcentro.com. And you can be caught up with those studies so you see how it all has been flowing in a master plan that God has laid out for us here in the book of Philippians. Paul is going to go on now, after using Jesus as an illustration of a submissive mind and a heart, he's going to give himself as an example of a submissive mind in the first part of our text today. We'll see that in verses 17 and 18. So let's take a look at that now, where Paul says, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also will be glad and rejoice with me. Paul's saying, I understand what's happening in my life. You remember earlier in chapter 1, Paul said, you know, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I'm torn between the two. I don't really know which one I really want more. I really want to go to heaven and be with Jesus, but to stay here, it's more beneficial for you. So he realized that his life could end at any time. And actually what happened, he was in prison in Rome. They released him. They called him back later, and they beheaded him. So he was. He did become that sacrifice for them and for all of us. And so he was saying, but I rejoice over what is happening to me, just as you're rejoicing as well. How could he rejoice over the possibility of being killed? It's because he had that submissive mind unto the Lord. He realized that his life was not his life, but it was the Lord's life to spend it the way he wanted it spent. And some people would go, well, that's terrible. He's in prison, and it's not like, you know, Sentinella. That's that. He was in prison and dungeons, and it was a horrible place to be. But you know what? If he wasn't in prison, we wouldn't have a vast majority of the New Testament. Because those were letters that he wrote to people from various places when he was in prison. They're called the prison epistles. And so we see that his life turned out to be spent for us. But boy, have we gleaned from him. And just sometimes our lives will be spent. They'll go through difficulty. But at the same time, what's taking place is that our lives can be beneficial to other people. And we need to learn to rejoice in that. Romans 8:28 says, and I know that all things work together for the good, for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. When we come to that point, as Paul said that, then when circumstances come, yes, they can be tough, but we still know God's got a master plan. And we can hold that dear to our heart and walk through our trials. As the psalmist David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. He didn't say, though I pitch my tent. And yet so often Christians in their circumstances pitch their tent, and they end up going into the tent of pity party and staying and living there. No pack that tent up, put it on your back with your backpack, and walk through that valley, because it's only temporary. Yes, it may be difficult, but it's only temporary, and you can move on. Well, you don't know what's happening to me, Pete. It's terminal. Yes, and that's temporary, because terminal brings you closer to going to heaven. I imagine that when you get to heaven and you're going to look back at what you went through, you're going to say, it wasn't a fair deal. No, you're going to say, man, if I knew it was this good, it could have come quicker, God. I'm glad I'm here now with you. And you won't be remembering any of the pain or the suffering that you've gone through. And so Paul became that sacrifice. He lived that out as that submissive mind. Now, some people, and maybe it's you, might be thinking, well, I can understand how Jesus could be submissive. He was God. You know, it would be real easy for him to live down here in that submissive life. But don't forget, he gave up all of his godly abilities to come down here and to live that life to where he had to seek direction from the Father. That's why his prayer life was so important to him. And he had to depend on the Holy Spirit to empower him to do the things that he did here on earth. And you know what? That's exactly what happens in our life. We have to depend on direction from the Father, and we have to depend on the Holy Spirit's power to give us that ability to do the things that God has called us to do. So we can relate, and that's why Jesus came this way, so that we could relate to him. But you still say, well, yeah, but he was Jesus. He was God. He could do that. And Paul was one of those chosen apostles, and so therefore he could easily be a submissive person. He's not like, you know, me. I'm not Paul the apostle. I'm not Jesus. And you're correct. You're not. You're you. But I believe that what Paul did is he understood that people would look at Jesus and think that. People would also look at him and think that, even though he knew that it wasn't true, that he had to seek direction from the Father. He had to seek the power from the Holy Spirit. And that's why he did something that was very interesting here. He's going to give us two examples of a submissive mind, of somebody that is just like you and me. Somebody who just loves Jesus and wants to go to heaven. How many in here love Jesus and want to go to heaven? I see some hands that didn't raise. Okay, at the invitation, I'm going to be looking at you. No, I'm just teasing. We all love Jesus who have accepted him, and we all want to go to heaven. Amen? We all want that. That's our goal. Our goal is not to get out of El Centro. Our goal is to get out of these bodies and go to heaven. Some people think, if I could just get out of El Centro, my life would be wonderful. And then you move someplace. You go, if I could just get out of San Diego in this traffic, my life would be wonderful. So you move to L.A. What'd you move to L.A. for if you hate traffic? There's always problems with certain places you're in. But you know what? It's not going to solve the problem that's within. And so when we come to that point and we learn to be satisfied and we rest in where we're at, and we realize that we have a goal, and that's to seek the Lord first above with all of our heart, soul, mind, and being. And that we love the people that are around us just as Jesus would, and we want them to love us that way. Then we're going to learn to be content in where God has us. And we're going to blossom and we're going to grow. And what that's called is that's living the general will of life. And God will begin to show you the specific will of life for you as well. And as we do that, then we're able to see those things taking place in our life. And then our priorities of just loving God and desiring to go to heaven one day becomes a part of our life and our being. And then we do what people in the Bible did that had submissive minds. They learned to be faithful to what's in front of them. And so we see two examples that two guys just loving God, just wanting to go to heaven, that Paul uses them as examples for us that we can relate to who want to go to heaven. Now, all that was different with those guys than other people around them and maybe other people around here is that they simply stepped out and they obeyed their calling that the Lord had put on their heart. And in our last study, we talked about the importance of obedience and how valuable it was in our life. And these two disciples simply stepped out in obedience, and they're now written down for all of us to read and to learn about. Let's go ahead and read and see about them. We're not going to probably get through everything today, but we're going to see it, and then we'll be able to come back later on. 19 through 30. So Paul goes on and says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." Verse 22, "But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I consider it necessary to send to you," second person, first one was Timothy, "to send to you Epaphroditus," he's our second example, "my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed, heavy-hearted, because he had heard, or that you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such a man in esteem." And finally, verse 30, "Because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supplying what was lacking in your service towards me." Both of these guys, Timothy and Epaphroditus, both of these guys had important characteristics that would be wise on our part if we would pray them into our lives. So let's take a little look at both of them. We're probably only going to get through Timothy this morning, and the next week we'll look at Epaphroditus. A little background on Timothy, if you would. The first time that Paul met him, you can read along in the journey that Paul had, you can see in Acts chapter 14, where he came across on his first missionary trip and was introduced to Timothy at that early age. We know through Scripture that Timothy, his mother was Jewish and his father was a Gentile. It plays an important role into next week's study if we don't get to it today. And Paul then, on his second missionary journey, invited Timothy to join in with him in Acts chapter 16, and they developed a relationship that so much so that it came to pass there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, he referred to him as his son in the faith. So we see the history of him. Timothy had a submissive mind, but that submissive mind was cultivated. It was developed as he had dedicated himself to the Lord and into fellowship. So the first thing that we need is to have a dedication to Christ and a commitment to the Lordship of Christ. Now, let me explain the difference on this. When you ask the Lord to come into your life as your Savior, what you're doing is you're saying, "Jesus, I have recognized that you are the second person of the Trinity, that the plan of redemption dealt with the Father sending you, and you chose to give up your godly abilities, come down here to be born in the form of a man, to walk a sinless life, never to sin whatsoever, and then go to the cross to be that sacrificial lamb for all of mankind, including my sins. And you raised from the dead to prove that it worked." So you rose from the dead. And you're alive today, and you've been back in heaven, and you've got all your power and all your glory back. But you have done the work that I could never do to get my sins forgiven. Therefore, please forgive me of my sins and come into my life and be my Savior. Right there on the spot, what you have now done is become justified, if it was sincere, in God's eyes. Just as if you never sinned before in your life. You are now saved. But there's also something that goes along with Jesus. He's called our Lord Jesus Christ, our Master. There are some people that will sincerely pray for salvation, but they still want to be the master of their lives. They still want to be the Lord of their lives. And as long as you want to be the master of your life, as long as you want to be the Lord of your life, you will never have a submissive mind to the will of God for your life. And thus you're going to end up living a very frustrated Christian existence. You're going to hear testimonies of how people are doing things for God and how much joy and pleasure and, oh, what a blessing it was. And you're going, I don't have that. Why don't I have that? Well, the simple reason for that is, yes, he's your Savior. Yes, you're going to heaven. But you've never surrendered to his lordship. You've never surrendered to what he wants for you. It's more what you want for you. And that's why it's so important that we understand the difference between salvation, that he's our Savior, and that he's also our Lord. He's our Master. But many Christians live an existence of they are saved by Jesus Christ, by grace. They understand all of that, but they still want to be the master of their lives. But you've all seen movies where there are slaves in there, you know, and they have to report to their masters, and they come in, and the master tells them to do something, and what does the slave say? Yes, master. Have you ever seen one of the movies where the master is there waiting for the dinner, and the slave walks in and said, I didn't feel like cooking tonight, so what are we having for dinner? You've never heard that, have you? In those days, the slaves would work out in the field. They would do the crops. They would do all the harvesting. They would do the thrashing. They would do the preparation of the grain. Then after working all day long, they would come back and have to serve the master. And then after the master ate, then they got to eat. Why? Because that was their role. They had to submit first to the master. Now, does that mean that we're a slave of God, that we're there to beckon and bow down? Oh, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And even though I don't want to do it, I'll still do. No, because there's a difference between a slave and what Paul refers to as a bond slave, a bond servant. A bond servant is one of those slaves that has been a slave. Their time has elapsed. They could be set free, but they say, I love my master so much, I want to stay in his service. And the master says, that means it's a lifetime commitment. He goes, yes, but I love you, and I want to stay here. He'd take him down to the city gates. The elders would be there. He would present them to the elders. He would stand there before the elders and he would say, I am making a conscious, aware decision that I want to be a bond servant. You sure? Because once you do this, it's for life. You go, yes, I want to serve him with all of my heart, with all of my joy. They go, okay. And they would take him up, take his ear, put it onto the wooden post there, and they would drive a stake through there, a wooden stake, a dowel. And that dowel right there in his ears, when he walked around town with pride that he had it, because he said, I have chosen to have this man be my master, and I have dedicated myself to serve him of my own free will. And see, that's what God wants us to do. There's surrendering to him as our Savior, But he also wants us to surrender him to him as our Lord. That whatever our master tells us, that we're willing to do. Why? Because we're going to say, we're not going to be the master of our lives anymore. God, you be the master of my life. You guide me. You direct me. You use me in whatever capacity, whatever way you want to use me. You be the master and direct my life. Boy, there's a big difference on that. And I hope that you understand. Yes, you can be saved, but you can be a frustrated Christian because you've never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And God desires both. If you want to have that intimacy, look at the examples we see in Scripture. We see that in Jesus. We see that in Paul. And here, we see that in Timothy. And what were some of those characteristics that we saw? Well, we saw that Timothy's heart began to develop, so much so that he became that godly man. It didn't happen instantly, but he became that godly man as things transpired in his heart. What were some of those things? Let's read 19 through 21 again. It says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who is sincerely cares for your state. For all seek their own, but not the things which are Christ Jesus." The first thing about this submissive mind here is that Timothy, as Paul did, as Jesus did, cared about people's welfare. Timothy cared about people. They were important to him. They were not important to him for what he could get out of them for himself, but he cared for them for what he could pour into them and make sure that they were spiritually healthy, if you would. He cared for people. And it's important that we have that heart, that we sincerely care for people around us. Those that God has placed around us, that we care for them, that we love on them, and that we shine the love of Christ in them. Now, I want you to notice something interesting, though, here in verse 19. It says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state." Paul's saying, I want Timothy to go there because I'm in jail now, and I want him to report back to me on how you're doing. Well, you know what that means? That means the church at Philippi hadn't really been letting Paul know how he's doing. May I suggest to you it's important to let people know how you're doing, your loved ones to know how you're doing? You know, it's funny, aren't there certain people that will only call when they want something from you? And the phone rings, you pick it up, hello, yeah, so-and-so, how you doing? I go, oh, you go, oh, great. How much are they going to hit me up for this time? What do they want? And then they butter you up and they do all this stuff. But they don't care. They don't really care for you. What a blessing it would be when they would call and say, hey, how you doing? How's everything going? You know, the Lord laid you on my heart. I just haven't talked to you for a few days or a week. And I just wanted to know how I was doing. Things are going great. And what can I pray for you on? I've got a few things you can pray for me on. What can I pray for you? Okay, great, I promise. Well, you know what? These things are going on in my life right here. Would you pray for those things for me? Because I want you to know how I'm doing, and I'm doing good with the Lord, but, you know, I want to do better. Some of you parents would fall over dead if your kids that moved away would call you like that. But, boy, what a blessing it is to let people know how you're doing. Because if not, sometimes people are wondering what's going on with you. You know, are they alive even? I think the Lord wants me to share this with you because I think some of you are supposed to call some people and just let them know you're okay. And if that's you, let the Holy Spirit work on your heart today. And maybe this afternoon, 2:00 would be a good time to call them. And just let them know how you're doing. So we see that Timothy sincerely cared for them. Where other people were Christians in verse 21, but they didn't really care for people as well. Paul shared the hearts of those Christians that were in Rome where he said they're more concerned, in verse 21, they're more concerned about their own selves than they are about other people. Let us pray that we are never guilty of that. Yes, we need to take care of our needs, but let's also be concerned for other people as well. The people in Rome didn't think it was important to go and see how the people in Philippi were doing. But Timothy, he desired to. That wasn't his hometown, but he desired to go and make sure that they were okay. Now, what allowed him to do this? What helped him to do this? Because we need to be able to do that. It was simple that he was willing to step out. And it's important that we learn to step out as well with people that the Lord puts in our lives and that are around us. You know, a church as large as we have, it is impossible for Marcy and I to connect with everybody, to know everybody and what's happening with everybody. It's just impossible. It just can't do it. At one point in our history, we could. We knew everybody. I mean, it was simple. But now there's times that people will go into the hospital and come out of the hospital, and I didn't even know they went into the hospital. It just happens. But that's why we are a family. And the people that are around your circle of people, you need to have that loving care for them and reach out to them and make sure they're doing okay. Just like Timothy, we had that sharing and caring heart. Does that mean that Marcy and I, we just say, hey, let's kick back and we won't do anything anymore. We'll let everyone else do it. No. For those people that are in our circle that we're aware of, that are in front of us, and who's in our circle? The people who come and get in front of us. That's who's in our circle. When we find out their situations, we go. We're there. We found out that Myron was in the hospital. We went over there last week at 10 o'clock at night. We find out if you're in the hospital, we'll go over there at 10 o'clock at night. I prefer you go in the hospital at 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, but I'm still more than happy to go at 10 o'clock at night, even if it's a Saturday night. It doesn't matter. Because we love you. But it's just a fact. We can't do it for everybody. But you can do it for the people that are around you. And guess what? When everyone's doing that, then everybody's covered with this caring love. You see what I'm saying? Timothy was an example of that. He just stepped out and he was doing that. So first we see that Timothy had a caring heart. The second thing we see is that Timothy had discipleship. He was trained. You see, Paul did not put him and add him to the team right away. Paul had him stay in the local church that he was at there in Derbe and then in Lystra to learn how to be part of a church family and to grow in the spiritual matters and to learn how to serve. It was years later that we actually see that Paul invited him to come on to one of his missionary trips with him. After he had gone through that discipleship. And then after the missionary trips, later we see that Paul placed Timothy to be the pastor over the church at Ephesus because he had gone through that discipleship. We all need to go through training. We all need to go through discipleship. And you know what, folks? It's available here if you're willing to do it. Whether you know, you think, well, I don't know how to do any of this stuff. But that's why we're here to train you and to teach you and to disciple you. You know, you hear the plea for Sunday school all the time. You go, well, I wouldn't know how to teach kids. Well, you think we're going to throw you into a tank of sharks back there and let them eat you all up? No. We're gonna teach you the curriculum. And, you know, there's teachers back there right now as we're in here learning the Word of God. They're teaching your kids apologetics. How to defend the faith of God. So that when they go out into their schools and they go out into their teams and they go out to in the public and there's kids that say things about God, they will know how to defend those things in the Word of God. Not because mom or dad said it, not because Pastor Pete or Kirk said it or Sean, that it's because they've learned it. They've learned it. And those teachers that are back there, they're trained. The curriculum trained them. And the, you know, Gene and Patty are there to assist them and to disciple them and to help them. And in every aspect, I mean, if you don't know how to clean a toilet, we'll train you to get onto the cleaning crew and I'll come down and I'll teach you how to clean a toilet. There's training. It's available. But you might have to say, Lord, use me. And so we see that he learned how to do that. And as a result of that, he was willing to be part of the family of the submissive minds. Unfortunately, what's sad is that there too many people fall into two types of categories in a church. They don't want to invest in other people, so what they do is they just show up and they leave right away. No involvement. Just, I'm here to get it for me, and then whoosh, out the door I go. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you're feeling convicted on that, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction is God saying, hey, I'm speaking to you right now, and I want to improve you and get you closer with Jesus, so listen to what he's saying. Condemnation is saying, you're no good. You don't even care about people. You're not even a Christian. Get out of here and never come back. You know, how dare he say that to you? You know, Satan's trying to get you away from God. If you're one of those people that come in a little bit late or a lot late and you end up, you know, listening to the word of God, and then as soon as the prayer is over, out the door you go. If that's what you want, fine. It's okay. I want you to keep coming back that way. Why? Pete, it's everything opposite of what you're just saying. Why would you say that? Keep being that way. Because I know my God and your God. That one day, something will be said, and there will be a little teeny spark that goes in your heart. And you go, I think I might want to try that. I think I might step out and test the waters and see what it's like. And then you're going to go over and you go, oh, that feels good. And then you're going to step in more and you're going to go, wow, what a blessing. Now I see what I've missed out on. So it's okay. If you want to for a while just come late and sneak out, I know that one day God is going to touch your heart. And I'll be blessed and see what God does in your life. It's going to be an amazing thing. That's one group of people, the come and goes that don't really want to invest. The other group of people, sometimes they don't want to wait. They don't want to be a Timothy and go through the discipleship. It's put me in charge now of it or I'm out of here. And those people, there's the door. Because you can't just bully yourself into something. What the scripture is very clear on is it tells us and teaches us that we need to be faithful in the small things. And when we're faithful in the small things, then God's going to bless us in the bigger things. Saints, I'm here today just to encourage you to be faithful in what God has placed before you. He has a plan that is so much bigger than you could ever envision. But it takes you being wise and stepping out and being faithful to the little thing that God has in front of you. Well, what's something I don't want to get involved in very much? So what can I be faithful to? How about being faithful to showing up on time? That's a good thing to be faithful to, isn't it? I mean, doesn't your boss at work want you to be faithful in showing up on time? Well, your master would love to have you here worshiping him. So be faithful. That's a start. And we'll let the Lord speak to you on the rest of it. So Paul was wise in giving Timothy time to put his roots down and to let his roots begin to grow. Then Paul enlisted him, and what a blessing that he was to those people that he served. You know, you take a look on the missionary trip, what a blessing he was. You take a look at, you know, being placed as a young man as in charge of the church at Ephesus, and what a blessing he was over there. That's where we get our pastoral epistles, because Paul was writing to Timothy as a baby pastor. And if you want to be in the ministry, then start reading 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, and look at those pastoral epistles. They're just marvelous. They're so rich and so full of wisdom on what it is to be a true servant. And all of us, what a blessing it is that we have been able to get to know Timothy as our brother in the Lord. How? Through the Holy Scriptures. You realize that in Paul's writings, over 24 times, Paul is listed in the Scriptures. Timothy is listed in the scriptures by Paul. In Paul's writing, 24 times. But I'll tell you what, if you're mentioned that much in scripture, then we can learn a lot about a person. And we can learn a lot about what it's like to have a submissive mind by following the life of Timothy and following what he did and the instructions that he was given. And you know what? All that means is what James said. Just be a doer of the word of God and not a hearer only. Oh, if we could all just become that doer, and we would all be the doers, not to try to earn salvation, but because of what God has done for us, what a blessed place this world would be. Amen? Timothy is the example. Epaphroditus is the second. There's no way that I can cover him in the couple minutes we have left. So we're going to pick up Epaphroditus. And you know what? It's an amazing thing. I will share this with you. Paul was a Hebrew of Hebrews, fully a Hebrew. Timothy, he was a Hebrew and half Gentile. As far as we know, Epaphroditus was all Gentile. No Hebrew teaching at all. None. But yet, he was listed here as one of the submissive examples. And I find it interesting that God's covering all the bases. He's covering the full Hebrews. He's covering the half and halves. And he's covering the non-existent, because if you weren't a Jew, you were only designed and destined to keep the coals of hell burning by you being thrown into them. And yet, Epaphroditus is listed as a faithful, wonderful brother. And we're going to study and learn a lot about him in our next study. Amen? Father,